This meeting is now being recorded.
Those who were present this morning in the meditation hour, I just explained what is meant by meditation. Meditation in two words is to direct your attention, which is the outward expression of soul, from all outside and from all the body below, take it to the seat of the soul in the body, which is at the back of the eye. Just the process of death. Man, when dying, he does not recognize anybody. His attention is withdrawn from outside. And further, the lower body is benumbed and his attention is upward until the eyes are upward, to the back of the eyes. So that was practical, sitting was given. And most of you people did know that you are not the body, and you also did open the inner eye, single eye, to see one phase of God into expression, which is light. God is light. The symbols of which we use in our meditations, in our temples, in outer ways of worship. Now, each kernel has its own creation. This attention was the outward expression of the soul, which is at the feet at the back of the eye. So it was a casing which you are carrying. This is called man's body. So God made man, this outer casing, with equal privileges. All born the same way, all have got the outer form the same, two eyes, two hands, two ears, mouth, inner constitution also the same. So man has got heart, lungs, stomach. Every day morning, municipality takes out the filth of the body. No high, no low. So you'll find, so man has three aspects. It has the physical body, it has intellect, and it is conscious entity. Physically, we advance wonderfully. We know how the body is made, how it can be kept fit, how the diseases arise, how those can be remedied. We have got so many patches for that. Ayurveda is the oldest. Yunani system comes next. Then allopathy, naturopathy, homeopathy. There are so many systems which help us to keep our body fit. We have got intellect. We have dwelt also intellectually wonderfully. That is before you all. We can go around the world in hours. We have reached the moon, the other planet we are trying. We can hear from thousands of miles through the radio. We can also see through television who is speaking. So with all these intellectual advancements and the physical advancements, we are not happy. The reason why we have known little, practically nothing about our own self, which is conscious entity, the outward expression of which is attention, as I explained to you this morning. So masters come, they say, God is spirit, and the spirit of God is in man. So, what is spirituality? That I have to put before you now. Spirituality is knowing oneself and knowing God. Man body is a wonderful house we live in which there are so many apertures. With all these apertures open, we cannot run away out of it. Body works so long as we are in the body, and we are in the body controlled by some power which keeps us in the body. So man body is considered to be the highest in all creation. Next to God, angels were asked to bow down before the man body when it was bent. So we are drops of the ocean of all consciousness, but with all that we also have the same sense as that of God, and that God whom we can have to meet is also within this man body. With so much privilege, we are not happy. The reason why our soul, the outward expression of which is identified with the body, outgoing faculties and enjoyment. So much so that we have forgotten ourselves. Body is made of matter, and world is also made of matter. Soul is eternal, but the body which is wearing, which is working, is changing. Any moment of life, and the world outside also is changing at the same speed at which our body is changing. As we are identified with the body and with the world outside, this all appears to be stationary, which is optical illusion. If you like to bring home this point, take example of a boat in which human are rowing down the stream. Boat is rowing down the stream, the speed of the water and the speed of the boat is the same. And those who are sitting in the body, they are also flowing at the same time. They enjoy, they look to the water, it appears to be stationary, and boat also stationary. If for a while they look to the shore of the river, oh, we are going down this thing. So this illusion, optical illusion, we have to come out of that. Only we will see the world in its right perspective. World is changing. Those who came, kings are the poor, happy or the unhappy, all who came took the body, they after all left the body. But under great illusion, when they came to know at the time of death, that now we are leaving the body. This body is the first companion that we have with us when entering the world. But when we go, this body does not accompany us. And all those things which have come in our connection, how can they go? whereby they are out of this illusion, they tell us the world is passing, time and time waste for no man. The day is arriving when you will have to leave the body. So we have been identified with the world outside so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. Now the only remedy is we should know how to leave the body at all. The masters who solve the mystery of life, they sent, gave out, man, know thyself, who you are, what you are. You are not the body, you are having the body. You are not the intellect, but you have the intellect. You are not the outgoing faculty, but you have them for you. And you are conscious entity, conscious being. How to know that? How to come out of this grand illusion? For that this morning was submitted to you how the soul, the outward expression is attention can be withdrawn from outside and take up about the body consciousness, and you would have found there that you are not the body. And further peep, you add into the beyond, and most of you did see light of God. On the lower scale, of course. So how to come out of this delusion is by self-analysis. Not by feelings or emotions or drawing influence. They're all subject to error. Seeing is above all. So all this, what it appears to be, is all illusory. It's changing like anything. And we come to know about it when we really rise above body consciousness. So this is what men have to see. Then what is spirituality? I have just placed before you. Spirituality, God is spirit, and spirit of God is man. God is all consciousness, and we are drafts of the ocean of that consciousness, environed by mind and matter. As I submitted just now, our soul is under the control of mind. Mind is under the control of outgoing faculties, and outgoing faculties are dragged like anything but the outer enjoyments. We identify with it, we cannot differentiate. In theory we might, intellectually we might infer. Really we cannot see it is right perspective unless we ourselves rise above body consciousness. The demonstration of which was given to you at the time. So spirituality is knowing who you are, what you are. What is your connection with the body? How long will it continue after all, each man has to leave the body? What be our fate beyond? So this rising of our body consciousness, withdrawing our attention from outside and from the body below, rise up to come in contact with the spirit of God, God into special power, this is truly means spirituality. So spirituality is no spiritism. Spiritism to be in contact with the lower groveling spirits which are left body. And it is no spiritualism. It is only come in contact with those souls who go a bit higher in the other world. You contact them to plant it, another thing to get their messages. But they cannot give you messages more than they have attained already. They are no wiser than when they left your body. So that is not spirituality. And hypnotism also not no spirituality. And mesmerism also, people think the other way. So spirituality means self-analysis practically. A way out from the physical body into the beyond. How to do it? How can we separate our body from the entanglements of the outgoing faculties and attachment of the outer of the world and the body below? This is, strictly speaking, spirituality. Now, I am coming to the case inside. Man has got body, physical body. Masters who came, they solved, they analyzed the man body, what it is composed of. Ultimately they come to know what is that driving force which is carrying along the body. And that we are. We are controlling the faculty of the man body with different departments of seeing, hearing, taste, smell and touch. So it is you on account of us that this body is working. When we withdraw, the body remains intact as it is, whole machine intact, but the driver is gone. And there is one thing more. We are also controlling the body. We cannot leave the body, although there are so many holes open. So masters come to give us a demonstration as to how to rise above body consciousness. And this process of leaving the physical body, rising to the beyond, coming in contact with that all-controlling power is, strictly speaking, spirituality, what is called. So God, let us come out to the outer casing of it. God made man, as I told you, with the same privilege from God, no high, no low. And the masters who solved the mystery of life, whosoever met them, they were also succeeded in solving the mystery of knowledge himself. To know themselves, it is the first step. All masters, whether they came in the East or the West, all said so. Greek philosophers told the same thing in the Greek language. Gnothi theaton. Latin philosophers get in Latin, Gnothi tiptum. Persian philosophers also said in Persian language, of course, the ultimate goal of all knowledge is to know God. And to know God, who can know God? God cannot be known by the outgoing faculty, mind or intellect. So, it is our own self, which is conscious entity, when it is liberated from the entanglements of mind and outgoing faculty, by rising above it, only then we can know the old self which is controlling us in the body. Life knows the life. So, when the master left the scene to keep their teachings alive, these religions, social bodies, what they are, came into existence. The purpose was very noble, that most of the people may derive benefit by joining those schools of thought. The labels of which we are now carrying. You see, as man, we are man. Later on, whatever labels we are carrying on the body, we are called by that. some Hindus, some Mohammedans, some Christians, some Sikhs, some Jews, like that. If you look to a small child who is 2-3 years old, not more than that, if you ask him who you are, he opens his eyes, opens his mouth, he feels something conscious here. As he grows old, outer impressions find he has. Then he says, who you are? He says, I am Mr. John, I am Mr. Khan, I am Mr. Singh, I am such and such. When a more further impressions come into himself, then he says, I am a Christian, I am a Hindu, I am a Mohammedan. I am an Indian, I am a Russian, I am American. Just see how far he has receded from the consciousness which a little child has. So it is the consciousness that we are. We are conscious entities. And that to be withdrawn from all outside and know ourselves so that we can run the machinery of the man body in outside world whenever we like. If not, we can withdraw from them. So such men, their bodies appear to be in the world, but their souls are in mouthpiece of God, contact with God. Their bodies appear to be entangled in the worldly affairs day and night, but whenever they want, they rise above body consciousness and travel into the beyond. That's the difference. As I told you this morning, the average man and the one who has succeeded that way is a vast difference. We are at the mercy of the outgoing faculties and enjoyment. We are dragged like anything, whether we wish it or not. But one who has, with the grace of some adept in the body, he has given him a demonstration as to how to rise above body consciousness. He rises above the outgoing faculty. The seat of the soul is at the back of the eyes. And all outgoing faculties have their place below, ears, eyes, nose, down. These 5 decades last anger, greed, taste, and touch, they have got their centers to work. Lust attacks from the eyes, through the eyes. Anger has a boost when you hear. Taste through the tongue and smell through the nose. So those who are just competent to have their feet there at the back of the body, at the back of the eyes, he is competent to use any of the in fact, that is will and pleasure. So this is what the difference between the average man and the other man. So religions, I told you, that were raised with a very noble purpose so that many people may derive benefit from them. So long as they are practical people, people derive the full benefit of that. For want of them, the same formation raised with noble purpose stagnated. Further deterioration came up. Masters come from time to time when they see this plight of the world, they say, dear children, know that who you are. Again they revive that very truth, which is the basic teaching of all masters. And they bring home these things to them. Now soul, as I told you, is of the same essence as that of God. God is all consciousness and soul is conscious entity. So physically, you see, we are all one, with equal privilege from God. As soul, we are also of the same essence and that of God. We are all children of God. We are all brothers and sisters in God. And the power that we worship as God, as God, by so many names, is the same which is controlling all universe and controlling us in the body too. So as man, as soul, as whom we worship, we are all already one. The unity exists, but we have forgotten. There are thousands, numerous people praying God, bearing different labels on the man body. But to whom they bow down? To God, who is the controlling power of all things. But they have to know themselves. So like archers, you see, there are many archers, but the point target is the same always. Whether you have the outer labels of one religion or the other, that show in which school, particular school of thought you are taken up to solve the mystery of life. This is basic teachings given by all masters, in their own language of course. That school is better to be is appreciated, from which many students come out successful. Not that whose buildings are very grand, whose playing grounds are very beautiful, whose dresses and students are very magnificent, but where from many turn out that highest degree. Well, I told you all this light came up for want of practical people. So masters always tell us what they bring us. They say, first of all, that there is a maker of all this universe. He also made your body in the womb of the mother. So, masters say the same thing. They say, love God and all those whom God has created. All scriptures, when you see, look through them, they join this thing. God is love and love is God. Tenth Guru says, hear ye all, lend me your ears, I tell you the truth. Whether you bear the labels of one school or the other, the way back to God is also through love. God is love and love is innate in our souls. Now instead of that love being had a boost by coming in contact with all love, which is controlling us, the body, that being attached to the outside thing, which is termed attachment.
Excuse me.
Love knows giving, and attachment means squeezing, playing something, usurping something, for one's own self. What's the difference between the two? So they bring the religion of love. Kabir also, all masters, I say, Kabir says, well, love thy man body is the only golden opportunity in which you can love God. How? When you are brought in contact with God, which is controlling you in the body. The outer expression of which is light and sun. So if someone we have got love for the world, which is called attachment, that's the reason we go where we are most attached. In man body, we could have contacted God within us, which is all love. Had that become the ruling passion, then naturally After that, we would have gone to the lap of the father. The reason of our coming again and again, ever since we were separated from God, we have not yet been successful to go back to our home. So all masters tell us like that. All those who are on the spiritual way, St. Paul said, but you should serve one another with love. Blessed one who serves his fellow men is the true lover of God. You see? So one and all, you see, Taylor says, he, in his poem, he prayeth best who loveth best.
Good morning, and welcome to the satsang from Master Kripal Singh. The talk you just heard was the first half of a talk named True Spirituality, recorded on October the 8th, 1972, in New York. Our reader this morning is Tanya Franklin. Good morning, Tanya.
Good morning, Dave.
Go ahead, whenever you're ready.
Yes, thank you. I begin Master's satsang with an invocation to our precious, adorable Lord and Savior, Sant Kripal Singhji Maharaj. In one voice, we sing our praises of gratitude for your everlasting love and divine guidance as we send our heartfelt prayers to you, our Lord. There is no refuge but thy blessed feet. Please let our reigning principle be only thee. Now I begin the reading from Master's talk, A Right Understanding Exalted, published in the June 1972 issue of Sant Sandesh. And I read from this, my last reading, and I begin now on page 15 at the bottom paragraph. So to achieve this jewel of knowledge, the Satguru, is essential. One gets an intoxication from a truly realized soul just by focusing the attention on the Guru, thereby becoming receptive. A man who is proud of his mental development and advanced intellect may see the Guru on an occasion, but he gains no effect from that. This is the difference in men. Remember, the mind is material, not conscious. Furthermore, it is besmeared with the mud of past ages. A magnet can have no effect on dirty, mud-covered iron filings, but if they are clean and free from soil, they quickly respond to the magnetism. The master can be likened to a most powerful magnet, and our soul is of the same essence, but besmeared with the muddy experiences of our past. Remove the mud, and the soul will naturally be drawn to its source. Put this to the test. Sit beside a master, and put your mind altogether aside for a while, and see how much bliss and intoxication you receive. Love will then begin to flow and overflow in you, for God is love, and the soul is his entity. A drop of that ocean of love, although it is at present scattered widely in a thousand attractive outlets at the mind, in sense level, separated for a brief space from all this outer tinsel and centered on or concentrated, it will be dragged toward that love which gushes forth from the perennial source. This is an established law. We read the words of the masters, the valuable gems they left behind, but we rarely understand their true meaning. So he tells us, giving your mind to your guru, you get the imperishable love. You receive the gift of salvation, which erases the dirt of all sins. With right understanding, the mind is cured from the state of diffusion that it suffers from. By the soul-filled glance of the master, it is not said in the scriptures that salvation is gained through the nam. Is it not said in the scriptures that salvation is gained through the nam or word? What is that nam? That is the name or word of God which sustains all creation. And it will you get. And when will you get this gift which erases all imperfections? When you sit beside a master in a receptive mood. Even if you do not understand the language he is speaking, you will gain the benefit of the radiation. If you also understand his words, so much the better. Guru Arjan Sahib says, by coalescent darshan, all sins are finished. Becoming fully absorbed in the union with someone is different from merely seeing a person. It must be a coalescence. The two hearts should become one so that the soul is receptive. Christ said, I am the vine and ye are the branches. Only the masters can understand this subject. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. That is what is called guru bhakti. If you are really devoted to someone, you will obey that person. Christ also said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Wherever love is, a human being responds. The masters tell us that the right understanding is, you are not the body. I am not the body. You are a soul. I am a soul. Our life sustainer is God. And my soul is in unison with him. By his mercy, you will also be rejoined to him. The God power, working in the guru, guides the disciple constantly. So if you receive this gift, all your faults and imperfections will be erased. Our biggest fault is that our attention is scattered, disseminated among outer things. This is our basic problem. But when the mind starts tasting the higher nectar, why would he revert to lower enjoyments again? Oh, brother, without the guru there is no knowledge. Ask Brahma Narad Ved Yas. In the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, it is written that when Brahma made the four Vedas, he became very sorrowful. Do you understand why? Because reading, writing, learning, and the acquisition of letters are not necessary for realization of the truth. He says, go ask Narad about this, and Sukdev, son of Vedyas, this thing cannot be realized without a guru. When the mind is stilled, one receives the radiating waves of the guru, which are already emanating from the human pole of the master and have great charging. Those who are receptive enjoy these charged waves to the extent of each one's receptivity. The learned and the unlearned both can become receptive. But as long as the mind is not set aside, there is no spiritual advancement. He tells us to go and ask anyone in authority, and they will tell you that it cannot be achieved without a guru. Guru Nanak also says, without a guru, no one has knowledge of the divine, and no one can have it. Concentration upon the indescribable sound principle, the nod, is the knowledge. That sound cannot be expressed in words, but is given various names. Udgit, nod, word, nam. To experience it is true knowledge, and of the greatness of the guru who makes possible this knowledge. Paltu Sahib says, whoever can make the sound coming from the Gagan, the seat of the soul in the body, audible, he is my Gurudev. Whoever can make it possible for one to hear the sound at the Gagan and to connect one to it is truly a guru. He gives a little way up and opens the path. That great light, which is God's, leads one's attention away from the outer attractions. It is a small experience with God. My guru gives me the light of the Lord's Nam. In the Gayatri Mantra, the same thing is mentioned. O Lord, take us to the light of the rays of the sun within. Go and search for such a personality who can reveal this light to you, wherever you can find him. Why can we not have this knowledge without a guru? Understand very carefully that we are surrounded by the senses and have become the very image of the physical form. We have forgotten our true selves. When one asks a child who he is, he opens his mouth and eyes wide and tries to express what he is, for he has some awareness left of his true self. But when he grows up, he declares, I am Ram Das, I am Ram Singh, I am Mr. Khan, etc. That small fraction of awareness has gone, and to regain that awareness, we must have the help of a guru. If 100 moons and 1,000 suns arose, with all this light, there is but dense darkness without a guru. If the inner eye is not open, how can one see? This eye is called the Shiv Netra, the third eye, the single eye. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Also, if the 10 senses are controlled, in that soul will the light become effulgent. But how to control and invert the senses? This secret, the Satguru tells, all outer learning has connection with the attention when scattered, but the true knowledge is gained through inversion. It is the ABC of spirituality. Where the world's philosophies end, there the true religion starts. So meeting the Satguru opens the path of right understanding by experiencing the inner knowledge. When the Satguru is met, inversion occurs, brother. Even for outer learning, we need someone's help. So naturally, this more exacting type of knowledge cannot be achieved without the help of an expert. That small experience given at the beginning is then increased by daily contact. Death while living unravels the mystery. You become the one who sees. When the attention withdraws and the body becomes numb, then you can say, yes, I have experienced it. The one who receives the experience can acknowledge it as practical proof, even if it be but little. It is like a scientific subject, and not one on the level of sense or feeling, for the soul itself has the experience, and as it rises higher through the astral and causal planes, the more experience it will get. Finally, the soul sees that I and my Father are one. He works through me. Concentration upon the indescribable sound is the knowledge. The fruit-giving tree of the Guru is green, and its shade is deep. The Guru is likened to a huge shady tree whose leaves are verdant, whose flowers are full of fragrance. Those who sit in its shade receive the coolness. Milani Rumi says that our heart should sit beside one who knows its condition. He then himself asks, how can that happen? And replies that one should sit under the tree whose flowery fragrance permeates and should not roam around the world aimlessly, but rather sit in the shop where the honey is sold. And for in the world, many things are taught in huge boiling pots. And one should not go there with one's cup without first giving thought. There is a lot of black marketing in the world, but more so where so-called spirituality is concerned. There was an occasion when Christ became very angry with the Pharisees for defiling the precincts of the temple with their money-changing activities, and he drove them out. Bula Shah has described this very clearly. In holy places live the cheats. In the temples live the thugs. In the mosques live the professionals, but true lovers live elsewhere. It illustrates the decline in man. Religions are well and good, but they should have a proper teacher. A realized soul. Instead, one finds this poor soul who is earning money for his living this way. He must do this or be cast out. Now, what can people get from such poor beings? All these social bodies were based upon a noble thought, but everything has gone down with corruption. They are not up to the mark now. They want offerings of money, flowers, etc., and then give their blessings, saying, "Go, child, your salvation is assured." Giving some holy food to complete the transaction. The same good old custom has corrupted itself. The customs were made for the purpose of helping the people to gain freedom, but they have become binding chains in themselves. A man who belongs to a certain religion is afraid to visit another. This is the result of wrong teaching. Our Hazur Baba Sawantinji used to say, "This is a gift given to you. Go where you like, and if you find anything better than that, then take it, and I will also go there." We are devotees of the truth and should go wherever we can get it. The fruit-giving tree of the Guru is green and its shade is deep. In the Guru's bandar, precious jewels are found. The Guru's bandar, which is the treasure house, is a place where one gets something invaluable. Go and sit in that refreshing shade. After trudging along in the hot sun, a man gets re-enlivened for a while when he sits in the cool shade of a leafy tree. Sitting at the feet of a realized soul, one becomes more conscious of what is real and of the world's unreality. In the company of the Master, there is awareness of the Lord. In His company, the Lord seems very near. And when one leaves that company, one reverts to the same condition. This jewel of knowledge, which is right understanding, is found in the Guru's bandar and is gained at His feet. In the Guru's bandara, you get the pure love of Nam. First, He told us we would get the precious jewels, the jewels of understanding. Gurbani is most praiseworthy, for not only does it contain the words of the Masters, but those words are such that they fully explain so that there is no misunderstanding. Then He says, you will get the pure love of Nam. It means that there is such a name which is pure. God is Anam, nameless. He has no name. He is absolute God. When He expressed Himself, He said, I am one, but will become many. In the Gurbani, it is written, from one source, millions and millions of rivers sprouted forth. The Quran says, He ordered and all creation came into being. The power which came into expression is called Nam, and various other names given by the Rishis and Mahatmas, but these are merely names. The pure Nam is that power, the truth, the contact with which is given in the Guru's bandara. Anyone can give mere words and tell the person to go and repeat a certain name they have allotted to the Lord. Although every respect should be given to all His names, I sacrifice myself to all Thy names. Now the question arises, what is that Nam, repeating which one crosses the ocean of life? Those who have not found the Guru consider that the words applied to God mean everything. The Hindus say that He is Om or Ram. The Muslims say that He is Allah. And the Sikhs say that He is Wahiguru. Who is correct? Each insists that salvation is gained through their own choice of name. But in fact, these are merely words given to the holy power of Nam. We should practice that Nam, which is the power itself, the truth. Only through that Nam can salvation be received. The controller of the nine Riddhis, supernatural powers, is the Lord's Nam, the water of life, which resides in this body. This is not a subject for physical sight. You must rise above the senses to see things in truth. This Nam has an enchanting sweetness. Anyone can teach outer rituals, prayers, mantras, but with prayerful thought, I say that if only religious teachers would give out the correct teachings, there would be great love among all men. This is the basic aim of all religions. Why is there so much conflict? Because of the different levels of understanding. They regard everything from the levels of mind, intellect, emotions, feelings, and inference. And it is all due to the lack of right understanding. Remember that this type of people has always stood against the God-realized souls, and principally the learned priests who were at the level of mind. The great Saint Guru Nanak Sahib was called an enticer and was said to be misleading the people. He was refused entry into one city called Kasur. Some people have propagated that I am the representative of the negative power and that no person should look upon my face for fear of being misled. Just see, even today, these things are still going on. With the full mercy of the Guru, you get the true merchandise. If in your search you have found a truly God-realized soul who has realized that which is written of in the scriptures, has actually experienced that, then there is no need to read the holy books which speak of such a guru. You may put them aside to get what they got. Meet such a realized soul who will take one along the path that he has traveled. No one has ever achieved any real progress just by reading, and never will. To see this worldly ocean is terrifying, having no beginning nor end. There is no boat, no raft, no pilot. The world can be likened to a vast ocean, frightening to regard, but we see no beginning nor end to it all. Furthermore, we can see no means of crossing this ocean safely. We have only the mind as a helper. The mind, with its four departments, its reservoir of impressions, its reasoning powers, its intellect, and its ego, all are blockages keeping one from the truth. Their help will extend only to considering the subject. Reasoning is helpful, but nothing can be realized through it. So, is there any real means of crossing this worldly ocean? Guru Nanak himself answers this. The ship is the Guru, the Satguru, whose gaze will take you across. A single glance from the Satguru can put you on that ship. That is the ship of Nam, the connection to which is given only by the Satguru. It is the very key to through salvation. In the book Baal Khand, part of the Ram Kshatra Mansa, written by Tulsidas, it is said in praise of Nam, with or without attribute, both are Brahm's image, but I consider Nam higher. Nam power is higher than any attributed or non-attributed form of God, but indescribable. That is why it is said, how much can I say in praise of Nam? Ram himself could not sing its praises. This is a clear comparison of Nam and Ram, showing Nam to be higher. For even Lord Rama could not find the words to praise it. O Nanak, with devotion, read hundreds of thousands of tons of paper with limitless ink and write at the speed of the wind, but your description cannot be described or scribed. O Nam, the whole world's scriptures would weigh less than 100 tons, but he speaks of reading many hundreds of thousands of tons of books, of writing as fast as the wind, but Nam cannot be expressed in words. Nam is Nam. All say Nam, 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 but no one has got it. Nam is unique. If you want to start to understand what Nam is, go to the God-realized person in whom it is manifested. In his bandar, that treasure is stored. All other treasure and wealth is perishable. To cease his remembrance even for a second, all happiness leaves and misery results. That will be the end of my reading for today. And again, I will give the benediction, and we send our love and master, our love and devotion with overflowing joy we have in his holy Shabd. And this reading was from the Master's Talk, Right Understanding Exalted, published in June 1972, issue of Sat Sandesh. Are you there, David?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Tanya, for reading for us. We had 67 callers at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us. Now, please hang up your phones.